Nice to have Wally and Diane with us again this year. And how many years has it been in Mexico? 17 years. Praise the Lord. Doing a great work there. They got pictures back there. You'll want to see those before you leave. I'm just going to turn it over to Wally. Brother Wally, come and break the word of God to us tonight.
I'm just going to say a few words tonight. I bring greetings from the church in Valles before we left just last Sunday night. Several of the people told us, you know, to bring greetings to the church here. And it was only last week. We got here Thursday night late, so we've only been in Wisconsin a few days, and it's nice and cool, and it's beautiful weather here. It's been hot, but it's cooled down to like 90, 95, but it's still hot. Our two boys were with us this summer. They came down for 6 weeks, and they're both like, we can't wait to go back north. They like the cool weather. I can't believe it. They grew up down there. They said it never seemed so hot before, but after they came up here and came back, now they think it's hot. But so we did have a good summer with them there. We've had a really good summer of ministry, and we're just excited. So it was kind of just did a lot of stuff. I'm going to just share a few testimonies with you. First of all, I want to say I hardly recognize this guy that was standing up here with a suit on. I don't know what happens to people when they come to Mexico, like in January from Wisconsin. They take their shirts off and they get bright red, you know, and so they like sunburn. They're not even suffering. They want to go back home with sunburn. They want to prove that they were somewhere where it was sunny. But it's neat to see many people here, Glenn and Joan and many others, Nora, survived the food down there. But there's been, Josh was a blessing too down there, but they came down and they helped build a church building. So what we're doing is we're building down there. We're building a church building, but we're building the church also, which is the people of God. And so sometimes this year we've had to step back and say, okay, the building, physical building is really good and everything, but let's not neglect building up the church of God, which is His people, because that's the business God is in, is transforming lives. And so this summer has just been an opportunity to see transformed lives. We had our annual vacation Bible school, which was a super blessing, and what it does is give lots of people opportunities to work and minister with the kids. We have 30 teachers and 18 teen helpers that were prepared, and they ministered to 118 children that came. Over 20 kids got saved at Vacation Bible School. And then out of it, some of the teachers, we were putting a vision, you know, why do we do all this preparation and for all this and for 1 week? You know, why don't we take it out and take it into our neighborhoods or somewhere else? So one lady, the week after Vacation Bible School got done, she started a class in her home for her neighbor kids. And then one of the young ladies she's 22, and she organized a team of the teachers. And last night was their first night. They're taking it out to a mission of an Assembly of God church. The family of one of the girls in our church goes to that church, and they've been saved for several years, so her dad's in charge of this mission. Well, she just got saved this past year, maybe 6-8 months ago, by one of her friends who comes to our church. So she stayed in she's come to our church, but they're taking the Vacation Bible School out to this mission in this village about 20 miles from Valles. And so they went last night for the first time, and there was like about 10 of the teachers that are going out there. So we were very excited about that, because I'm not there. You know, for so many years, our family did the ministry. We did children's ministry, and we did so much. And now we can leave, and they can keep doing the ministry. And so we're very, very excited about that. And we have it's neat to see youth that are excited about God and worshiping God and leading worship. We also have been the youth leaders, not so much by choice, but by necessity for the last year and a half. And it's not my ministry. It's not my calling to work with youth. I love children. I like to do a lot of things. But we have enjoyed our youth so much, and we've gotten to know our youth. And it's kind of like the day now that we have to give over the youth group to somebody else. It's going to be a very sad day. And we have like about 30 youth that come to our youth group, which is our junior and senior high group. And they were the teenage helpers in the Vacation Bible School, and they did a wonderful job. And then we went to a conference the week after Vacation Bible School. I think I'm getting too old for this, but it was like And they just came back supercharged. God touched them. And I think Wally's going to be sharing on going up another level in our walk with the Lord. And these youth, they came back from this conference convinced, and they talked among themselves and were saying, what do we need to do to be able to go up another level in our walk with Jesus? And we're not going one or two of us. We're all going to go as a group. And something that really blessed us, one of the moms, the week after they came back, we got together and we were talking with her. She's a cell group leader. And she was saying, or a co-leader, she's just a new leader, just came in June. And she said, she says she had two girls that went with us, and then there's a younger girl in the family, and she's a single mom. And she said the girls came home we got together last night, and the two girls that went to the conference says, you know what, Mom, and Fatima, the sister, we can't live like we used to live. You know, we've made a decision to go up a level in our walk with God, but we can't go alone. We have to go as a family. And she said the Holy Ghost just fell on their house, and they were all crying and weeping and praying for each other. And so we're excited because our youth are pushing us. Our youth are challenging us to take that extra step and to move deeper in with the things of God and not just to stay with what we've always been doing. And so we're just kind of like, it's really exciting, but it's a privilege to, and we're running hard to keep up with our youth because they have so much energy and everything, but it's a privilege to keep up with them. And after just the night before we came, we had a leadership meeting, and one of the moms who the day after Vacation Bible School, she and her two children went on vacation to visit her family. And she says, we couldn't wait to get back and tell you what happened. She said, we went, and she has two brothers and a sister that live in Puerto Vallarta. So they went there, and she said, one day, Saul and Yori, who are her two children, the boy is 10 and the girl is like 13, 14, she said they took all the little cousins into a bedroom and were telling them about the plan of salvation and sharing with them about heaven and hell. She said, I was sitting there talking to my sister, and we were looking in there, and we could see they were all crying, and there were five little cousins, and they all accepted the Lord. And she said, you know, we didn't have to do anything. It was on their heart to go and take it. And I really like these songs we were singing about we can all go out and we can all take it. Nothing is too small. All those little cousins were reached by their cousins. You know, it wasn't a preacher. It wasn't a Sunday school teacher. It was kids that were reaching kids. And, you know, I want to challenge the kids here. You have cousins. You have friends. And they're waiting to be invited to know Jesus. And they're waiting to be invited to a church, Vacation Bible School, or just you in your house. You can tell them about Jesus. And so we're excited. We're excited about them. We're excited about the youth. We're excited about our teachers. Our ladies meeting, the ladies of Bias have come together, and we have a evangelistic outreach every 2 months. And sometimes this last year it's been a battle, and we're all pastors' wives, and we're all busy, and we're all swamped, actually. And it's just like sometimes everything comes against us. But in May, we had 45 new ladies at the meeting. Like, we have an attendance of almost 200 in May. And I can't remember, I think 18 or 20 accepted the Lord. Now in July, we had 25 new ladies, and 10 of them accepted the Lord as their Savior. But what it was is people that went and invited their neighbors, their sister-in-laws, their sisters or cousins or whatever, invited them to come and hear a message about Jesus and that Jesus saves. And if you're having special meetings, invite people. You know, we can plan our meetings. That's why our ladies, we plan the meetings. But we depend on people, the women in our churches, to invite other women to come and hear the message. Because if it's just a bunch of saved ladies that are hearing the message, there's no fruit, and that's not our purpose. And so I challenge you, and I encourage you, invite people. They're waiting to be invited and to share. And so we're excited. Hope to see a lot of you down in Mexico this year. There's still lots of work to do. I think Wally will share a little bit more about the building process of the building, but the church in Valles is growing. The people of God in Valles are growing, and we just count it a real privilege to work there, and we thank you for your part in it. Many of you have sown your money, your prayers, and your encouragement in the ministry there, And someday you're going to see the fruit. If you don't come to Mexico, you'll have to wait till you get to heaven, but someday you will see the fruit of what you've sown in Mexico.
It's fun because so many of you have been there. Not so many, but a good number of people from the church here have been down. I was watching Josh. Josh is a blessing to me. I like young people. Josh came down, and I really enjoyed getting to know him. And Rex was okay, too. We're going to let Nora come back again if she wants to. And Glenn and Joan and their family were down and did a lot of backhoe work for us and helped us out. So we're appreciative. It was fun to get to know people from the church. I don't think there's anybody else here that Merlin and Gail were down too. And I didn't put them to work though. I let them off. So it's been good. And this year, Ben's talking about the youth. And I mean, we never really worked that much in youth ministry. When we were up here, and when I was still in the Catholic Church, we started a little youth group there. But that was my experience with youth. And we started this with the youth, working with them, and it was interesting because we got these 13, 14-year-old boys, and they love to wrestle. And some of them are big. We got some of them that probably weigh close to 200 pounds, and they love to just do what they call them bolitas. It would be like pile up. And one guy will jump on top and knock the other guy down, and another guy comes and jumps on him, and another guy jumps on him. They like to see if they can get 10 high, though they've never gotten 10 high. But it's somebody came up to me and said, well, what do you let them kids do that for all the time? You know, one of the parents didn't think that was right. But it's so interesting because kids are kids. And there was one Saturday where these kids these boys were all piling up, and the girls were all standing there going, these boys, you know, and these guys were all piling up on the floor. About 10 minutes later, they broke into small groups, and there was a new boy that had come for the first time. And there they were over there in their group, and they were weeping and crying and leading him to the Lord. And I thought, you know, and about 20 minutes later, there they are, they're piled up on the floor again. But you know what? It's so much fun working with all these different, you know, because there's different age groups and different ideas and everything. But the youth are fired up, and I look at the youth as giving the church that extra boost that they need to. Our youth are challenging the parents. We got, Diane shared a couple of testimonies, but we got some parents, some kids are saying, hey, if mom and dad, if you don't want to get on track with God, you know, you can stay behind because we're going to get on track with God, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. You know, if you don't want to go to church, you don't have to go to church, but we're going to go to church. And it's just so interesting. It's so much fun to see what God is doing. And I'm going to share with you a little bit tonight about going up another level. God is sharing that with us. But before that, I want to share a little bit, report on the building. Some of you have been down there and seen the building. Some of you worked on it, had hands-on with it. It's been an interesting year. Some of you don't know what had happened, but last year, about this time, the city of Valles donated us 5 acres of land and gave us a year to build something on it. And my faith was to build something. The church was about at 200, 150, 200, and I figured if we build something for about 300, my faith was there, but about a building for about 300. And Diane, I shared it with Diane. I said, because there's no water, there's no sewer, there's no lights or anything out there. So I thought, well, we'll just build something to have something. And Diane said, and I figured, well, we can do an outdoor toilet. And I was telling Diane all these things, you know, that I had in my mind, this church building with an outdoor toilet. She goes, well, if you want an outdoor toilet for the men, you can have an outdoor toilet for the men. But us ladies are going to have an indoor toilet. And that started a whole roll of things that we're renting right now. It's just a building. We don't have any. It's just an auditorium type thing, and we don't have any classrooms, so we can't do children's ministry. We're doing all the children's ministry and in the cell groups and the homes. And she said, "Well, and we need Sunday school rooms. We need someplace where the kids can meet." So as the whole thing started unrolling, I had no idea what was going on here. And God kind of blinds your eyes to things so that you get you where you want to go. By the time we got done. And by the time the architect got done, we had this plan of this building. It should seat between 800 to 1,000 people with the auditorium. And then it's got classrooms on one side. It's going to have classroom and offices on the other side. And it's been an interesting year. Last year when we came up, we put a young guy named Pablo over half of the cell groups that we had. We had another guy, Hugo Laura, some of you know him. He's our praise and worship leader. Over the other half, and Pablo, he had a hard time. He still wasn't ready to take on that much responsibility. We went back, and I mean, it was like the whole church was falling apart. Everybody was discouraged. Everybody, even Pablo was discouraged. We had to take some responsibilities away from him. Hugo and Laura were also discouraged, and we were like picking up pieces for 6 months trying to get this thing, and we're going like, you know, what is going on? What is going on? And the devil was fighting us with the building. There was days when I thought, what in the world are we doing? But the last 4 or 5 months have been in the victory. We've seen, and the other thing that happened, we had seen souls coming to the Lord for over 2 years. We saw people getting saved every week. And it came to a screeching halt. We went back and nobody's getting saved. Nothing's happening. And I'm like, God, what is going on here? And we started to talk to different people, ministering one at a time to our leadership, and things have turned around. And this last week, since January, we've seen people just about every week, we've seen people coming to the Lord. And this last week, 3 people got saved. And so I came up to the States, and God was like, it's okay, you can go. You know, 3 people got saved this week, so I was excited about that. But it's been an interesting year after things got going spiritually, then the building was going. I thought we'd be in the building by July, the way they were laying block and everything. And all of a sudden, we get this heat wave that comes in, 125-degree weather. And I mean, the whole thing just ground almost to a stop. Before that, I was going out there, and I could see that how much they were advancing the building each day. And after that, I go out and I'd see, hey, would you guys work today? Or, you know, are you on vacation? Because nobody can handle 125-degree weather, especially out in the sun. And after that, then it cooled down a little bit for a couple of days, and all of a sudden it started raining. And we had these torrential rains. We had like 5 or 6 days when I couldn't even get out there. We couldn't even get close to the building because there was so much mud. And I was like, I guess we're not going to be in by July. So we're shooting now for December, January to be in the building. We got pictures for you that are interested. The floor is leveled. It's ready to pour the cement on it. They should have all the walls all up and everything on the walls ready to go. They should be this next week. They should be putting the rest of the beams up for the roof. We have all the roofing materials there waiting. And so when we go back, we're going to start putting the roof on. They're supposed to be starting to lay inside block this time when we're gone. So we should have some in the entryway, we should have some of the walls up. The bathroom walls are going to be up. So we're seeing an advancement, but not quite as fast as we want to. But God has been doing some neat things. God's been talking to us about going to higher levels. God has always spoke to me. I like these songs that everybody picked out, mission songs. But missions is really right wherever we're at, you know. Missions is just doing what God's calling you to do. That's what I look at missions as, doing what God's calling you to do. And I've always had a burden for seeing people saved. I'm not an evangelist. But I love to see people saved, and I love to see people grow, and I love to see people that come to the Lord with all their problems and then watch God do miracles in their life, that their marriages get healed, you know, health problems start to go, they get jobs, that, you know, they come and they don't have much of a house, and pretty soon God starts blessing, and they have a nicer house, and they have this and that. And that's what's satisfying to me, is to see that there's a real God out there, and He really does things. And I believe in all my heart that God has called every one of us as a Christian to do something to help that process along, to win a soul, to bring somebody, help somebody. This past week, about 2 weeks ago, one of our best cell group leaders, one of our best leaders in our church, that he's a real evangelist, and his wife has got a real pastor's heart. And I mean, he gets people saved, and she brings them in, and she just nurtures them. And their group is always growing. They're always, you know, seeing things happen in their group. And about 2 weeks ago, on Sunday night, she told Diane, she said, I need to talk to you, and right now. So they set up a meeting on Monday, and Diane got together with her, and Diane came home from the meeting, and she goes, his name is Martin, and she's Anna. He's, for you that have been down there, he's the block layer. And they were about ready to get a separation and just call it quits in their marriage. And I'm going like, hey, this can't be happening. You know, and she said that he doesn't listen, and he said she doesn't understand, and all this stuff that they told Diane. So I went out to the job site and said, Martine, we need to talk. I sat him down. I just said, you know what? Women are different than men. Women just need us guys just to listen to them. I just gave him a couple little pointers, you know, on what it takes to to make your wife happy. And I said, you know, all she needs is for you to sit down. She's going through some stuff right now. You just sit down and you don't have to, you know, analyze the whole thing and give. Diane has taught me all this stuff. And you don't have to analyze the whole thing and give her all this advice. Just listen to her and love her. And he goes, well, I didn't. He says, it's this other woman that's coming to the house and she's putting all these ideas. I thought, oh my goodness. I said, just go home and just listen to her. And so he went home. I didn't talk to him again until Sunday about the thing. I figured Sunday morning he'd come and she'd be sitting on this side of church and he'd be sitting on that side of church. And they come in, they're all lovey-dovey and the whole thing. And I go, after church, I said, what is going on? He goes, thank you so much for telling me how to have a marriage. I go, all I did was tell you about 5 minutes by telling you. I'm telling you that to tell you that there's a whole bunch of people out there. There's people that you know. You've learned some things as being a Christian that you can just touch other people's lives, just help somebody else. And that's what God is calling us to go to another level to do. But I look at the world and I was thinking and I was meditating about what's going on in the world. And the world, the thing came to me, free-for-all. How many of you know what a free-for-all is? A free-for-all, we say. It was just a free-for-all. And I was meditating and I was thinking about, what is a free-for-all? A free-for-all is when everybody's free to do whatever they want to do. And there's no rhyme or reason. Just everybody goes out and does their own thing. And it's a total disaster. Like, you know, it's like helter-skelter or chaos or whatever you want to call it. When everybody's doing their own thing. And that's what the devil wants the church to be like. The devil wants the church to just have a free-for-all. Where everybody's just out doing something, but there's no focus on what we're doing. And I want to just share with you from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. There's some things that God is showing me and God is... that we're sharing with the people in the church in Valles and some things that are happening as a result of it. God has been speaking to us for probably the last 4 or 5 months about going to a higher level. Going to a higher level. How many of you want to go to a higher level? But you know what the thing is, when you talk to somebody and you say, let's go to a higher level, talking to Christians, let's go to a higher level. So many times the first thing that comes into our mind is, a higher level means more money. A higher level means a better house. A higher level means a better vehicle. A higher level means I'm going to walk in more health. A higher level, we normally, when we talk about a higher level, we start thinking about some physical thing or some material thing that's going to happen to me. But God is talking to us, when he talks about a higher level, he's talking to us about a higher level in the Spirit, a higher level in him, which as a result of being in a higher level with God, a higher level spiritually, things will start to come. Things will start to happen in your life. Things, money will come. Vehicles will come. Houses will come. God will start to supply the need you want, that you have. Because when you're in a higher level, you're more in love with God. You're more in touch with what God's doing. And you start doing more of what God wants you to do. And God supplies everything you need to do what he wants you to do. Does that make sense? So when we talk about a higher level, when we start talking about higher level in the church advice, a lot of people say, oh, good, now I'm gonna get out of debt. Hey, good, now I'm going to have more money. Hey, good, this is going to happen. Hey, good, that's going to happen. I said, you're wrong. That isn't the idea. The idea is that you spiritually go a higher level. That you go spiritually a higher level. And I got a 3-point message tonight. Amen? Not everybody knows me, but my daughter, she always tells me, don't you know anything about a 3-point message, Dad? She says, you need to preach 3-point messages. I learned how to preach a 3-point message, but I don't usually do it. But I was putting this one together, and it turned out to be a 3-point message. So I'll give you the 3 points. First one is unity. This is how you get to a higher level. First one is unity. The second one, when we were raising our kids and they were little, sometimes one would come and tattle on the other one, and we'd say, just worry about your own self. How many of you have ever told your kids that? Just worry about your own self. So we always say at home, just worry about your own self. And so that's the second point. Just worry about your own self. And the third one is leaving the level that you're at. To go up to a higher level, you need unity, you need to worry about your own self, and you need to leave the level that you're at. Let's start in Acts with unity. The reason that we're talking about going to a higher level is that you'll do something more for God. How many of you want to do something more for God? How many of you want to see a soul saved? You know what? Every one of us can win a soul tomorrow. How many believe that? Rescue somebody that's going to hell. Every one of us can do it. You know how it starts? It starts with a decision. You decide that you're going to do it. So many people never decide that they're going to win a soul. So many people decide that they're never going to do anything, that they can't do anything, and they just excuse it away. But you know what? If you're going to win a soul, if you're going to impact a life, it starts with a decision. It starts with saying, I'm going to do that. I'm going to win a soul. I had a young guy come up to me. He said, you know what? He says, I'm going to win 3 souls this week. You know what? I believe he could do it. I believe he could do it. It starts with a decision. He says, I want to win 3 souls. He says, what do you think? I said, I believe you're going to do it. We encourage each other to do those things. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was come, fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. There it is. In Spanish it says, they were juntos unánimes, which means they were together in one place, and that's saying in one place, and they were together in what they believed. They were together in what they believed. And when we're talking about unity, a thing that God is showing me is God has churches all over the world. We have a church here in Wilson, and this is part of the body of Christ. We are physically here. We're physically together. You're physically a congregation. But God wants us, as we're physically a congregation, He wants us to be together on the same page. Amen? Pastor Manon has received a vision from God, what the church is going to do. He knows where he wants to go, what God wants to do with the church. And what he needs is for everybody to plug in and do what God wants them to do. United, that's what they were. They were together in one place, and they were waiting for something, because Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That was a calling that they had. They knew that there was a calling on their life to do something, and they went and they waited. We need to go, and we need to wait, and we need to hear what God wants us to do. How many of you know what God wants you to do? The majority of Christians don't do anything because they don't have any idea what God wants them to do. But the church gives you a vision. If you come to church here, the church has a vision. You need to plug into that vision. You need to find out what is the church doing. What do we want to do as a church? Unity is so powerful that when they got united, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And they went out that day and 3,000 people were saved. They all came from unity. Being in the same place, with the same idea, with the same heart. And that's what God's speaking. Free-for-all is when everybody does their own thing. Free-for-all is when everybody goes on and says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And there's no unity. There's no power when there's a free-for-all. There's power when there's unity. And God's talking to us today about unity. And I look at churches. And the interesting thing about it is that every single church has their own vision. A church in Glenwood City, there's 3 churches in Glenwood City. There's 3 churches. There's 3 different, have a different vision, different things. There's ministries that have a vision of feeding the poor. There's ministries that have a vision of clothing people, clothing ministry. There's other ministries that have a vision to do, you know, evangelism. There's other ministries that have a vision to do discipleship. Every ministry, this church has a vision to do certain things. A church down the road maybe doesn't have a vision to do that same thing. We have different styles. We have different styles of music. We have different styles of worship. We have different styles of preaching, because the vision in each church is different. And that, because we're all parts of the body of Christ. And I'm coming to understand a lot of things that are helping me as a Christian. And I look at all the churches that there are, and sometimes it's so easy. First of all, we see people that can be united in their own church. They come together. They're on the same page, and the church is functioning, the church is growing, and things are happening. But then all of a sudden they see somebody else, and they say, well, our church don't do that. Or they criticize, and they say, well, our church is better than that church. You know what I think? I think that if you're in a church, you should think that you're in the best church in the whole world. If you're in a church, you should think that you have the best pastor in the whole world. The most exciting thing for me is when my kids come to me and they say, Dad, you're the best dad in the whole world. How many of you guys are the best dad in the whole world? There's a whole bunch of best dads in the whole world. But you know what? Every kid should think that their dad's the best dad in the whole world. When the children think that the dad is the best dad in the whole world, there's a powerful thing that happens in the family. There's a powerful thing that happens in the family. There's unity there. We'll support each other. We'll defend each other. When a church thinks that they're the best church, in the whole world, things start to happen. Well, how can every church be the best church? Like I tell my kids, I said, yeah, you guys know that I'm the best dad in the whole world, but don't tell everybody else because they can't have the best dad in the whole world. You need to know. You need to think that you're in the best group that there is in the whole world. Because if you don't, you won't do anything. You won't do anything for God. You need to think that you need to know that you're in the best church and you're where God wants you to be. And you need to give all your efforts to that. And then things will start to happen. Because every church, I look at the churches that there are in our city, and there's not another pastor in our city that has the vision that I have. There's probably 20 churches in our city, and I would say there's 20 different visions of things that they want to do. Some of them have evangelistic campaigns. Like we got this one guy, this one pastor. He has evangelistic campaigns 2 or 3 times a month. I mean, I just get tired thinking about evangelistic campaigns. Because when I look at 20, 30 people getting saved in 1 week, I look at it, it's like having a whole basket of fish that you have to clean. Because everybody that comes to Jesus is a mess. How many of you were a mess when you came to Jesus? The rest of you are liars. No. Well, you know, so I like to do it one-on-one. You know, get one saved, get him cleaned up, get him working, and then get the next one. And but this guy, he just loves evangelistic campaigns. My idea is one-on-one evangelism. Get one person saved. You know, you're a Christian now. You go out and get somebody saved. Every church has got a different vision. And what God's showing me is we need to do what Mark 9, let's go there. Mark 9, 38 says. Mark 9, 38. We need unity within our body. That's the power. Unity in our body. We have people that come to our church in Valles, and they say, and they come in, they get saved, and after they're there for a while, they'll say, you know what, Wally? I don't, the music is too loud. Or I don't like the way you preach. Or, you know, I don't think that this, you know, this isn't right or that's not right. And I always, people tell me I shouldn't say this, but I say, you know what? That door is really wide. Nobody get it. Nobody got it? And we've seen people that come to church and I say that and they leave. But you know what? I feel that if they don't have the same vision that I have, if they can't work with me, if they can't receive from me, we're not united anyway. And how are we ever going to get anywhere? And they either have to get united or find a church. We had one guy that came to church. He got saved in our church. He had all kinds of problems. God did a miraculous thing in his heart. And he started going out and visiting other churches. And he came to me one day and he says, you know, Wally, he says, you know, I see this in your church. I see this in your church. I see this in your church. He says, I think you need to change this. I think you need to change that. And I said, you know what? There's a pastor friend of mine, and he needs a guy just like you. And he went over there. And I'm happy as can be. Because he went over there. But, you know, and when he left, there were some other people that started to come in. And I'm not saying we need to, you know, empty the church. But what I'm saying is there's a power. And there's a power in unity. Because he was bringing this unity. He was running around to different people in our congregation. And he was telling them, this isn't right. That's not right in our church. We should change this. We should change that. When he left, everybody was happy again. And everybody understood what we were doing. And everybody worked again. So I've had some experiences like that, you know, and I'm not saying that I'm right or wrong, but I'm saying everybody has their vision, everybody has their way of doing it. And that's why you need to be where God wants you to be, and you need to be happy where you're at. Mark 9:38 says, and John answered him saying, Mark 9:38 says, and John answered him saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and he followed not us. And we forbid him because he followed not us. But Jesus said, forbid not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. There's several things here. We had I had one guy that come to me. One of our leaders in our church came to me and he says, Wally, he says, you know, he's telling me about this other church in town. He said, you know why? He says, there's another church in town. He said that church is, they're just cold. He said that church just doesn't have anything like we got. And I said, you know what? I said, you're wrong. I said, that church is called to a certain thing. I said, you know, what I've learned is that with all the pastors that we have in the city, I have to be an encouragement to them. God has given me a vision. God has given them a vision. There's pastors that are called in our city to pastor 25 people, and they're doing the work of God, pastoring 25 people. There's other churches that are pastors that have been called to do certain things, and they're doing it, and they're right on. But this guy, he came to me and said, I said, you know what? I said, the pastor that you're criticizing is a man of God. And I said, he's got a vision from God. And I said, he's doing the work of God. And I said, his congregation is doing the work of God. I said, what we need to do is encourage him. What it says here is we need to give a cup of water. We need to give, if we give a cup of water in Jesus' name, then we won't lose our reward. What I see happening today, God's calling churches, bodies of Christ, to be united so that they can do the work that God's calling them. Step number one, unity in the body. Churches that are united, churches that believe in what they're doing. Not just coming to church and, you know, saying, well, we went to church, but find out what God wants us to do in that church. What I tell people is, you come to church because somebody in church needs you. Amen? You come to church because somebody in church needs you. You don't come to church to see what you can get out of church. You come to church because someone needs you. Someone here needs you. For that reason, you come to church. When you come to church to be a blessing, there's unity. The church has power to do something. And then the next step that the devil wants to do is he wants to tell you either that church is better or that church is worse. You don't need to know. That's what it says. That's when I say, worry about your own self. Worry about your own self. Not that we shouldn't be interested in praying and interceding for other churches. We should. But it's more important what God, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, praying for them, that God does what he wants to do in them, and not worry whether they're better or worse or indifferent or whatever. They're part of the body of Christ. God has a great, mighty work for them to do, just like God has a great and mighty work for us to do. It's been an interesting thing for me because I started when I went to Mexico. I started working out in the villages, and I had no desire to work in the city. And I was able to work in the villages and raise up churches in the villages. And God called me to start a church in the city. And I had no idea what starting a church in the city was going to entail. But before I started the church in the city, I started meeting with another pastor that I got to know. And it turned into him and I praying together every week. And it evolved into a ministerial alliance in our city. And I was part of this ministerial alliance, but nobody ever recognized me as anybody because I wasn't a pastor. Then I got to be a pastor, but I was a pastor of the church that nobody knew even existed because all it was me and my family. And then as time went on, our church started to grow. And now we're one of the biggest churches in the city. And through all this, it was like every time it was an adjustment for me to find out where do I stand and how can I be a blessing in this community and how can I be received by other people and how can I encourage other pastors. And that's what God has spoke to me, that every church has a vision. We're not to compare ourselves one church with another. Even inside the church, we're not to compare ourselves one to another. We're to encourage one another. Encourage one another in what they're doing. And I feel what God's given me is favor with the different pastors in the city. And I encourage them. And I tell them that they're doing a good job. And I had one pastor, this was a pastor from up here in the States. But he came down and he said to me, he came down and visited the work. This has been 10 years ago. He came down and he said, Wally, he says, I am so glad that it's you that's living here in Mexico and it's not me. And he left. And I said, I went and I told Diane, I said, I am so glad that it's me that's living here in Mexico and not him. You know, and it's like somebody goes to Mexico and they, you know, it's the smells, it's the food, it's the heat. And, you know, you say, I wouldn't want to be in that place. But God has called each one of us to a certain place, to a certain thing. You know, and what we need to do is encourage each other, you know, in what God's calling us to do. That's where we're going to start coming up to another level. That's when we're going to start coming in to what God has for us. And when we come into another level, we're going to come into the same type of power that we see in the book of Acts. When we can be united, encourage each other, and not criticize each other, but encourage each other in the body of Christ, which is in the local church, and then as churches. We're not a separate enmity, but each church has its function. Each church is important. Each church is important. This church right here has a purpose. There's a reason why this church is here. There is a reason why this church is here. Pastor Man, if you're like me, there's mornings when you wake up and you say, why is this church here? That's what we have to say. Hi, this church is here. This church has a reason. And each one of us, you know, as Christians, we wake up, we say, you know, there's days when we're all excited about what God is doing, and there's days like, what am I doing here? But we all go through those things. But there's a very important reason why you're here. There's a very important reason why you're a Christian. God has something great and mighty for you to do. I believe that every single Christian should be a soul winner. How many of you are with me? Every single Christian should be a soul winner. I was talking to my daughter. I was talking to Jake. Jake is my son, and Jolene is my daughter. I was talking to him this Saturday night. We were visiting, and I was sharing with him some things that are in my heart. And I said, I just believe that everybody can win souls. And Jolene goes, well, yeah, but Dad, you know, not everybody directly wins souls. She says, you know, there's some people that, you know, they give to evangelists that win souls. There's some people that, you know, pray for people that win souls. There's some people that, you know, are a good witness, and they're planting seeds with their testimony. And Jake, he goes, yeah, but Dad don't believe that. I do. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that everybody that has some function in getting souls saved has a crown in heaven waiting for them also. Not everybody's an evangelist, but I believe every one of us has to have the vision to see people getting saved, to see things happening in lives. What kind of a God do we serve? Do we serve a God that can heal marriages? Do we have a God that can heal broken bodies, broken hearts, can put families back together? Do we have a God that can pull people out of poverty and give them enough to eat and give them a decent house to live in? We have a God that's like that. And people say, well, nobody's hungry for God. Nobody wants to hear. But do you know what the thing is? Everybody's hungry to hear. Maybe not everybody, but there are a lot of people nowadays that are looking for a solution to their problem. They're looking for help. They're wondering, who can help me? What is it? But everybody says, yeah, but they just laugh at us. They just brush it off. They don't. How many of you were there? How many of you laughed the first time they said, hey, you need Jesus in your heart? Oh, Jesus freaks, you know? Brothers and sisters, you know, brother this and brother that, you know, laughing at us, making fun of what, but how many of us were there? People are hungry for God today. What they're looking for people who are not in the same hole that they're in. They're looking for people who are living a different life. And I'm telling you, God is talking to us about a higher level. And it comes with this type of unity. It comes from seeking after God, knowing that you're called to do something. Knowing that you're called to do something. How many of you are called to do something? God, in the book of Acts, when Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem, he was calling them to wait in Jerusalem. They had something for them to do. God says that we're called and we're chosen. We're called and we're chosen. So many people are called. Everybody's called. I believe every Christian's called. But so many people never get into what they're chosen to do. They never get in there. And the interesting thing, the last point is leaving the level that you're at. You don't want to criticize other people. Unity, unity, unity. The easiest thing and the hardest thing in life is other people. You know that? The easiest thing. We don't want to live without people, but how in the world do we live with people? That's the whole thing of life is learning to live together on this planet. I shared with somebody one time, when you're working with people every day, you're just working with all, we hear testimonies, such good testimonies too, but it seems like you're always working trying to get somebody out of the hole. And after listening to certain things for a week, I said to somebody, I said, it is a miracle that we all live on this planet and we haven't killed each other off. How many of you can relate to that? It's a miracle that we're all living on this planet and we haven't killed each other off. That's a miracle of God. But God wants us to learn to live together. God wants us to learn to encourage each other. God wants us to learn to have a heart of compassion to win souls and help people get out of the hole that they're in. The last one is, to go up a level, you need to leave the level that you're at. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19. Kings, 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19 says, so he departed hence and found Elisha and the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elisha passed by, and casting his mantle upon him. Here's what's happening. The prophet of God is walking by, and he knows he's supposed to anoint this guy. He knows that God is going to use this guy, or God wants to use this guy. He walks by with this mantle, and this guy's plowing. And there's all kinds, I've heard all kinds of things, that it was 12 yoke of oxen pulling one plow, and that was 12 different yoke. But I look at, being from a farm background, I look at it as each yoke of oxen had one bottom plow. So this guy had 12 bottom plow out there plowing the land. This guy is rich. This guy's got, he's got money. He's got something he's doing. He's got a vision for life. If you got 12 bottom plow and you're out there plowing, you got a vision for life. This prophet walks by and he throws his mantle on his shoulder, pulls the mantle off and takes off. And Elisha, he says, something's happened. God's called him in this minute. Every one of us has had times when God's walked by with his mantle, he's put the mantle on, he's taken it off, and he's walked away. That mantle is a calling. It's something that God wants to do in your life. It's got something that God wants you to do in your life. And the interesting thing is, I like the last part of verse, let's read verse 20. It says, and he left the oxen and ran after Elisha and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done unto thee? He's saying, and that's what God does. God will touch you, and he'll call you, and then he'll say, well, what do you think? How many of you have been there? I've seen people that they'll say, God, I know God spoke to me. This happens at conferences. It happens at youth retreats and things like that, marriage retreat, whatever. Somebody goes, and they get touched. They go, God's called me to do something. They get all excited. How many of you see them? And then about a week later, I don't know, about 2 weeks later, a month later, nothing happened. But Elijah, he said, something happened here. And he goes, and he goes, and he kills the oxen, and he boils them, and he boils the oxen, and with the yoke of the ox had on his neck, he feeds these people, and he takes off. He knows God's got something for them. And then he's walking in, and God said that he calls us and chooses us. He's walking in what God has chose him to do. I want to challenge you, because God has called every one of us. Every one of us is called to do something. You can say, well, I'm just punching a clock. God's called you to do something where you're at. Wherever you're at. If you're punching a clock and you're at, some people say, yeah, but I work with all. My daughter told me I shouldn't say heathen. Doesn't sound good. But working with heathen, working with unsaved people. And people say, well, yeah, but it's all unsaved people I'm working with. You have a mission field where you're working. Amen? How many of you want to see everybody that's at your job go to hell? At least one. There's that guy over there. Nobody wants to see anybody go to hell. And God's calling us to a higher level. God's calling us to a higher level. Elijah, when he felt the call, he said, I need to leave the place I'm at right now. I need to go somewhere, up another level. God's calling every one of us today. And it's not talking about physical things. It's not talking about selling your car, selling your house, leaving your job, leaving your home. It's talking about another level. We're talking about it in the church in Bias. We're talking about God's calling us. We can feel the tug. We can feel God's chosen us to do something more. God, the mantle has fallen on us. We feel that God wants us to come up another level. And there's not a 10 levels, 20 levels, 30 levels. We need to continue going up levels. Through our life, we need to continue going up levels with God. God's calling us to another level. There's some people, the another level You have to leave the level you're at if you're going to go to another level. How many know that? You're saying that? There's some people that the level they need to go to, the level they're at is come home from work, turn on the TV, put in a pizza, grab a Coke, eat a pizza, watch TV. That's what I do. Go to bed, wake up, go to work, come home, turn on the TV, kick up my feet, put a pizza in, drink a Coke. That's a level that they're at. And I'm not saying it's bad or it's good or whatever. But if we're going to go another level, we need to leave the level that we're at. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. We got this thing going on at our church about, I would say over 50% of the couples that come to our church are not married. They're just living in what they call union libre, which means a free union. And I call it lucha libre, which in Mexico, lucha libre is the wrestlers that put the masks on and they go out in the ring and they wrestle and everything's, you can do anything. You can bite, you can scratch, they come out all bleeding and everything. They even kill each other if they get to the jugular vein. And, so I call it lucha libre because what I tell them is, you know, if you're not married, there's no commitment. If there's no commitment in your marriage, there's no commitment with God. God's talking to us today. Another level is commitment. So we got all these people in the church, and I'm not telling them they have to get married. I'm telling them, you come to Jesus, divorced, you come to Jesus living together, that's the way Jesus found you, you know. But from there, you know, it's up to you whether you're going to go up another level or not. God is fine with you, but God has something even more that he wants for your life. So we got all these people that are coming to us now, and I haven't been preaching on this or anything, but all of a sudden, we're talking about going up another level. We got all these people that are living in this, in these relationships, and they're coming and saying, Wally, we feel that God wants us to get married. We want to get married. We want to get our marriage, our life right with God because we feel we want to go another level with God. And that's we need to leave where we're at. We need to go another level. We got other people coming saying, you know, there's this thing happening in my life, and I know that God does, it doesn't please God. If I'm going to go another level, I have to leave this level. I have to leave this sin. I have to leave this thing. It can be whatever, but every one of us is at a level. Every one of us is at a level, whatever level it might be. We're living a certain level. Do you want to go a higher level? Everybody says, yeah. You want to leave the level you're at? Yes. I tell people, how many of you want to go to heaven? Yes. How many want to die? No. It's another level. You're never going to get to heaven if you don't die. Well, unless the rapture comes or something, you know. Or you know, but... You know, it's like, we don't want to leave. The reason most people don't want to die, they're not so afraid of dying. They're afraid of leaving what they have. Because where you're at, you know what you got. Right? Where you're at, you know what you got. You go up another level, you're not sure what's there. And that's the scary part. But if you never live on the edge, if you never live going up levels, you're nearly not living by faith. It says the sons of God will live by faith. And I'll tell you what, the ones that are going to do something for God are going to go levels higher, levels higher, levels higher. And when you go a level, you start to see different things. The higher you get, the more you see. You see different things, and you go higher. And God, when you go higher, God can trust you with more of what he's got. And I just look at today. God is speaking to not only the church in Mexico, the church in the United States, the church in Russia, the church in China, the church everywhere. God, when God does something, he does it worldwide. And God's talking to his church about going up another level. But you know what? Another level costs you something. What did it cost Elijah? He was plowing a 12 bottom plow. So he had some land to plow. It cost him everything he had to follow God. But you know what? Those miracles and those people that were touched by his ministry, it was so much more than plowing with a 12-bottom plow. And when I see God saying to us, God wants us to be blessed, and God's going to prosper his church. And I feel that in the end times, or the end days that we're living in, God's going to prosper his church like he's never prospered his church. But he's going to prosper those that are seeking after him, not those that are seeking after things. And the thing about it is, you can work and you can work and you can toil and you can put everything you have into getting by in life, getting along, just making it, just scraping by or whatever you And I see so many people in Mexico, it's more pronounced than it is here. People that work 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, and they still aren't getting ahead. And then and they're just killing themselves, just trying to put some bread, some tortillas on the table. And when it's all said and done, what's their life all about? And if you do get ahead and you do get something, there's not a pleasure, there's not a joy as big as knowing that you've touched lives. There's not a joy bigger than seeing somebody that you've led to the Lord and watching them weep, and watching them cry, and then watch God heal their lives and put things back together that the devil has destroyed. And I'm telling you, God is talking to us today as a church. And that worldwide, we need to come up levels. We need to go up levels. We need to go up levels. And as we go up levels, the Church of Jesus Christ is going to prosper. Because to evangelize the world and do what God wants us to do, it's going to cost. It's going to cost. But God is going to use those that are teaching Him. And I tell people, you can work and you can slave and you know, you can want, you know, whatever you might want. And work towards that. But there's not a joy. You can receive anything you want to receive. Material things. And it brings some kind of a joy, but there's no joy like seeing a soul saved, like seeing somebody come into the kingdom. It's a joy that is worth more than anything in the world. And it's going to cost. In the beginning, it's going to cost. I always say, the first step to destruction is the easiest step. The first step to victory is the hardest step. The first step to destruction is the easiest step. The first step to victory is the hardest step. So many people take the easiest step because who wants to take a hard step? But today God's saying, it's time, church. It's time. Unity. I'm seeing God is bringing unity. I talk to pastors that say, we've never seen unity in our church like we have now. And God's doing it. God's doing it. God's bringing it together. And like I tell people in the Church of Village, you have to love everyone, but you don't have to like everybody. You have to love everybody, you don't have to like everybody. And that, you can be in a church, you don't have to actually like everybody because we're different personalities, we're different characteristics in us, and not everybody is what, you know, has the same interests as we do. So we're not going to like everybody, we've got to love everybody. We can work together. We can be in the same body. We love each other, and it says, and in Spanish it says, soportar los unos a los otros. What's it say in English? It means put up with each other. It says put up with each other. You know, for the cause of the kingdom, we can put up with each other, can't we? To see souls saved, to see lives changed, we can put up with each other. And that's what God's calling us to do, united. But I don't like that guy. You can like him. You can like him. And we have people saying, I kind of like that person now after I hear all that. And after you work with somebody and after you get to know somebody, you start to like them. You know, it's like everything's possible. The other thing is, the second point, is other churches aren't our enemy. Other churches have their vision. Other churches have what God's called them to do. And we need to encourage them. When you see other, you need to think that you have the greatest pastor in the whole world. You need to think that you have the greatest church in the whole world. But then, when you go to somebody else's church, you say, hey, you guys got a great pastor. You don't tell them that you have a better pastor. You say, you have a great pastor. You have a great church, even though you know in your mind that you have the best church in the whole world. Because if you don't, you're never going to feel comfortable. You're never going to do what God wants you to do in that church. And then, talking about another level, we need to seek that other level. That other level says, God is above. God is in heaven. Seek the things above, not the things of this earth. God's calling us to seek after that, to know. And as Christians, I believe that each one of us, when that mantle falls on us, we need to seek and we need to seek and we need to seek like Elisha did. What is it, God? What is it? What is it? What is it you're calling me to do? When I remember the night that God called me to go to the mission field. I was in Forest, Wisconsin. I was happy being a dairy farmer. I was happy. I loved milking cows. I loved driving tractors. I loved I love farming. And God's mantle came on me, and I knew that I had that. It was the calling of God to go and do something different. And I remember when I left, I had no idea. I thought, a missionary. I heard missionary stories. My idea of a missionary was a guy that had a four-wheel drive pickup, hiking boots, and a backpack. And it was raining, it was muddy, and he's going up the mountains with his truck, and he jumped out of his truck, and he hiked up the mountain, he preached the gospel. And I mean, that's my first years up there, that's what it was. And I can remember, I went in language school, there was a man named John Locke, John Garlock, worked in Christ for the Nations. And he came to language school, and he spoke on the people pump. He spoke on the people pump as a city, because people come into the city, if you evangelize them and train them in the city, the pump pumps them back out, and they go back out where they came from, and they evangelize. He says, the best place for a missionary to work is in the city. I remember I got so mad when I heard that. I thought, you don't know anything about missions. And I mean, he's an expert on missions. And I can remember I got mad when I heard him say that. And I had no idea where God was going to take me. But I felt the mantle. I felt the call. I knew God was calling me to do something. We started the city church. I had no idea where God was going to go with all that. God's calling you today. The mantle of God is on you for something. And it don't just come one time. The calling, each level, you feel another. You feel a tugging. There's something more. There's something more. There's something more. When there's nothing more, what's there to live for? If God doesn't have anything more for us to do, then we might as well just go home and be with Jesus. Because as Christians, I look at it as you get saved, and after you get saved, you're going to heaven, right? Then why doesn't God just take us? Because not everybody else is ready for heaven. So God leaves us here to get other people ready for heaven. So if you're not getting people ready for heaven, and you're already ready for heaven, you want to do something for God, right? Pastor Mary, can you come up? Let's just pray. I want to pray with you. Father God, we thank you and we praise you that we are the body of Christ. All over the world, you're working and you're moving, you're doing things. Father, you, in the smallest place in the whole world, you want to move and you want to do something. There's souls everywhere, Father. Each one of us is in the place that you want us to be, but we want to be light in that place. We can feel the tug. We can feel that you're calling us. We know that there's more to life than what we're seeing. We know that there's more to life than what we're hearing. We know that there's levels that we've never even obtained, but we can go there and we can get there. And your power can be in our life, that when we open our mouth, even as the prophet said, that the word was in his mouth like a flaming fire. Father, that's what we want. We want your word to be in our mouth. We want your anointing to be in our life. Even as Jesus said, the things that I do, you shall do, and greater things yet. Father, we want to see those days. We want to see those things. We want to see, Father, unity in your body. We want to be part of that unity. Help us, Father, to be able to support our brother, to be able to put up with him, Father. Help us to be able to just let everything else go for unity in the body. Help us as churches, Father, to be united. Help us as bodies to be united. Help us, Father, to understand what level we're at and what we need to leave to go to the next level. Father, I pray that you touch each one of us. Each one of us is learning, Father. Each one of us is desiring more of you. Father, we want to be part of what you're doing. We want to be part of souls coming into the kingdom. We want to be part of people being touched, rescued, Father, from Satan and all his doings, Father. Marriage is put together. Homosexuals, lesbians coming to know you, leaving that lifestyle. Drug addicts, prostitutes. Father, you have so much you want to do. People that are just hurt. People are just messed up with all the things that happened in their life. Father, we want to be the light. We want to be the ones that go and encourage them. Let Jesus touch them and do the work in their lives. Use us, Father. Help us to go to higher levels. Higher levels. In Jesus' mighty name.
Great message. Big challenge. But I think you're up to it. You up to it? Yes. Amen.